Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Arise and Shine Global Ministries. My name is Daryl Hikes, and I just want to say, hey, happy Sunday. It's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to operate in the blessings of God. It's a great day to receive from Him. So let's pray, get right into the program, because I got a script I got to stick to, and I am super, super excited. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity of being able to minister your word. I thank you that you speak through my vocal cords. You think through my mind. I thank you that it's all of you, none of me. And if people get blessed, they're already blessed, but they receive the manifestation of the blessings that you've already placed in their lives and on their lives this day. We don't have to wait till next week, next month. It manifests right now, today. And it's in the mighty, wonderful, majestic name. Oh, and also, I thank you that people decide to make a decision to accept Jesus Christ into their lives today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, here's the deal. Last week, I talked about how we were going to, you know, it was titled the Separation Series, Goshen or Egypt, or I think it was Egypt or Goshen. Let's see. Egypt or Goshen. So today, we're going to talk about worry versus rest. Then we're going to finish up what we were supposed to talk about last week when it comes down to Egypt or Goshen. So if you have your Bibles, if not, I'm going to read out of a Bible. So I got you covered. Here's the deal. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. And I'm going to be reading out of the, I'm going to go on the computer here and go to 1 Timothy. I got 1 Peter on my mind because 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 talks about how we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and that kind of, it just sticks with me, you know. That's our healing. That's what we put our trust in. We put our trust in Jesus because that's okay. 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's start in verse 1. And we're going to read the New Living Translation. So let's go there. Okay. And it says here in verse 1, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. So, Heavenly Father, I pray for all people today, everywhere. I pray their safety. I pray their protection. I pray they operate in their gifts. I pray that they accept their calling, whatever it is. And I pray that you continue to love them. I pray that they make a decision about Jesus today if they haven't. And if they have, I pray that they share Jesus Christ with people. Now, it goes on to say, ask God to help them. Heavenly Father, I ask you to help all people. I ask you to whatever, you know their hearts, you know what's going on in their lives, whatever it may be. I ask you to help them. It says, intercede on their behalf. Heavenly Father, I ask you to show me how I can help people, how I can. Jesus is our mediator. He stood in the gap. On this natural physical planet, there are things that we can do. For example, somebody may be locked up in prison that didn't get a fair trial or something like that. Well, we can intercede on their behalf. We can pray that wisdom be shown to the judge. We can pray that circumstantial evidence manifest. We can intercede for people. We can stand on their behalf before God in those areas. Now, when it comes to salvation and healing and everything, there's a lot of things that we can do. I mean, God has done his part, but then we can do our part also. And Father, I just thank you for everybody. I thank you for all the gifts and the talents that are on this planet. I thank you for the moms, you know, the dads, the uncles that step in where maybe, you know, somebody's, you know, maybe a child doesn't have a father, or, you know, I thank you for the grocery store workers. I thank you for the frontline workers, you know, that are going on with everything that's going on with the coronavirus pandemic. I thank you for the firefighters, the police departments. You know, I thank you that people are operating in wisdom when it comes to what they should do concerning this pandemic. And Father, I especially pray for kings. It says pray this way. for kings and all who are on authority, so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives marked with godliness and dignity. Okay, so what do I pray for? Kings and all who are in authority. Father, I pray for the President of these United States, Donald Trump. I pray for Vice President Pence. I pray for every elected and appointed official, every governor, every lieutenant governor, every mayor, every city manager, every city councilor. I pray that you give them the wisdom as to what to do concerning not only this pandemic, but every area of life, every area of government, whether it be, you know, increasing Social Security benefits, whether it be, you know, instituting programs where people have better housing situations, whatever it may be. I just pray that you give them the wisdom, and I thank you that they operate according to your wisdom and not the wisdom of man, because your wisdom is supersede man. So I thank you that they operate according to your wisdom, and if there's anybody in the government that does not want to operate according to the established Christian principles of this country, I thank you that they are removed and replaced with the righteousness of God. Just that simple. Now, and it goes on, verse 4 says, okay, first of all, verse 3, and I know I'm praying and I'm reading scriptures, but just stick with me and you'll see what's going on. Verse 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, this is good and pleases God our Savior. Wow. So I just pleased God. I just pleased Him. I just pleased God, and I just pleased our Savior. That's pretty cool. Who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. So that's God's will, His desire for everybody. He wants everybody to be saved, and He wants everybody to understand the truth. Now, one thing about salvation. Salvation is not going to be forced upon you. You have to make a decision. That's why He made everyone a free will moral agent. You have to decide. Just like you can decide to not go to work, there are consequences. If you decide to, you know, if you decide to not eat food, there are physical consequences in your body. If you decide to sit and watch the news stations day in and day out, 24/7, there are going to be some consequences. It's definitely going to shape your thinking. It's going to shape your decisions and pretty much going to control your life if you don't understand how to properly navigate the news media. What I mean is, see, I can sit and watch the news for about like 2 minutes, because after you start listening to people, it's like all they're doing is reading a teleprompter of information that they're, you know, I want to see somebody that has their own opinion and is not afraid to express it in a intelligent, productive way, instead of bad mouthing. You know, I was raised in the military and then I joined the military, so I understand level. I understand respect, and the Bible says, "Give honor where honor is due." And whether you like somebody or not, the honor should still be given. Just like you want to be honored, you shouldn't go around dishonoring and disrespecting people just because you don't agree with them. You know, I, as I was studying this morning, I was looking over these scriptures. I discovered something. God revealed something to me that is so cool. He said, it's hard to dislike someone after you pray for them. And I thought about that. It's hard to dislike someone after you pray for them. Think about that. All right, let's keep moving, because I got 15 minutes, well, I got 6 minutes left of this part, and then we'll get on to the next part. Okay, we label this the separation series, right? And we talked about worry or rest. Well, let's look at some definitions of separate. Let's go to Acts, because separate doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing. You know, if two kids are in a schoolyard fighting and someone comes along and separates them, that's a good thing, you know? I mean, think about it. So let's go to Acts chapter 13, and let's look at verse 2, where we see the word separate used. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Okay, wait a minute. Yeah, verse 2. I was looking at another verse. You ever been in the Bible and you get somewhere and you realize, and you're like, that ain't it. Okay, so Acts chapter 13, verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. This is a good thing, because now you're being separated. Now it's time to go get that job, or it's time to get about the business of doing what God called you to do. That's a good thing. Let's go to Genesis chapter 13, verse 9. Genesis chapter 13, verse 9. God asked me this morning, he said, hey, Daryl, can you just stick to the scriptures? Let the scriptures define themselves. Let people. This is one of the things that's going on in our country right now. There are a lot of decisions being made for people. Okay. Let's see. We all have a right to choose. It's when those rights are infringed upon is when we have a right to question, why are you infringing upon my right to choose? Now, blind obedience works with God. And it's not really blind, because God will explain things to you. But my thing is, don't try to take away my right to think like I want to think, or because I want to think along with the Word of God. Start infringing upon that, or trying to condemn me for thinking a way that's different than you, that's where challenges come in. You know? Now, do I line up with the government? I wholeheartedly support the government up to the point to where it violates my right of freedom of religion. We'll have to talk. We'll have to sit down and have a discussion about that. Because, you know, you can't say separation of church and state on one side, but then, okay, the state decides we're going to do this and you better line up with it. Wait a minute. So when all this is over, are we going to put prayer back in schools? See what I'm saying? You can't have things one-sided. There has to be the Bible says a false balance is an abomination. Can't have things all your way at your convenience. Romans, and I'm going to go there. I'm going to read something. Romans chapter 13. Yeah, I think it's 13. Romans 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resist the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have the praise, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, that's the part that they, you know, a lot of people leave out. It says if you do evil, which means if you're going around breaking laws, hurting people and killing and stuff like that, that's what the government is designed to. The government is not designed to run your life. The government is designed to facilitate policies and procedures that are supposed to be established by godly people. Ungodly ordinance or ungodly law, as citizens of the United States, we have a right to question, how did this law, first of all, who decided we're going to have this law, and how did it get in place? Because a lot of laws, people don't even know they're on the books. And that's not good. That's not good at all. Okay, that's another subject. All right. Genesis chapter 13, verse 9. And it says, is not the whole land before you? Please, separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Okay. So here, this is a good thing. Is not the whole land before you? Please, separate from me. Abraham was saying, look, man, we got too much stuff to be trying to live up under each other. It's kind of like a city that has a population of, let's say, 6 million people. And then people say, well, you know what, it's just too many people living here. But the entire state, as far as square land, square mileage of land, there's plenty of space. You just have to want to move. That's the end of the day. That's all. You know, instead of trying to curb the population by abortion and killing people and genocide and everything like that, just move. Simple process. You can't say the land's not there. The land is huge. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. I'm going over into my other time, but you know what? We're going to get there. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. Let's see. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from... Now, one translation says separate from sin. I like that one. It says separate from sinners. I like the one that says separate from sin and has become higher than the heavens. So Jesus was separate from sin so that he could die for all the sins of everyone. See, the reason Jesus had to be separate from sin was because when he died, by choice, you know, they couldn't take his life. He willfully gave it up. So that when he showed up in heaven, excuse me, when he showed up in hell, he was there illegally. So they couldn't hold him, because only sinners, people that are under the bondage of sin or under the penalty of sin, before Jesus died, they had to go to hell. So when Jesus died, every human being that ever died had to go to hell. Now, there were two parts to hell. There was Abraham's bosom, and then there was hell itself. There was an upper chamber to where they was chilling. It was paradise, man. It was lovely. And then there was the hell part to where, you know, it was burning and the worm never dies. And there was nothing good about it, period. So Jesus shows up. He's in hell. But the problem is the hell could not hold him because he wasn't supposed to be there. It's kind of like a totally innocent man. They find out that they lock somebody up. And then they come to find out that he's totally 100% innocent. They got to let him go. But the problem is there has to be restitution. That's why it says that, well, if you read the scripture correctly, Jesus whooped the devil. He whooped him. And the devil, Satan, the dragon, the serpent of old, he's not in hell. The Bible says he was kicked out of heaven to the earth. So he's on the earth. He's roaming about seeking whom he may devour. All right, but the whole point of this was we were looking at rest, okay? So, separate. We ain't got to rest yet. All right, so we were looking at separate. All right, so we read that one. That's a good example. Worry. I'm going to advise you to read or recommend that you read Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, where it says, where Jesus said, look, do not worry. I can read it. We can talk about it, but it's pretty simple. Read Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, where Jesus said, do not worry. And it's simply put, the word worry means to separate into pieces. It means to get you divided. In other words, okay, you're thinking about my middle child. You know, they're just not happy. Thinking about, okay, you know, I lost my job, so what am I going to do? You're thinking about, okay, the government said they're going to send a check, but it hasn't come yet. You're thinking, you're worrying about stuff. When God says, look at the grass. Look at the lilies of the field. He says, I clothe them. And they're not toiling, spinning. They're not doing all that. He says, look at how even Solomon was arrayed. I mean, that guy has some chains. He says, can worrying add one stature to your, can it add one cubit to your stature or one inch to your stature? No, it can't. But faith can, but no, we're not going to get into that. So Jesus said, don't worry. Now, rest Isaiah 28:12, Revelation 14:12-13, and Exodus 16:26-30. So worry, we say in Matthew 6:24-34, and then when we're in reference to rest, Isaiah 28:12, Revelation 14:12-13, and Exodus 16:26-30. That's interesting how the first letter of each of these three words, separate, worry, and rest, if you scramble them around and you say S-R-W, sorrow. Interesting. I'm a word guy and acronyms and all that kind of stuff. So, okay, let's get over. We got 8 minutes left. Let's jump over here to I call it the beginning of the end, where we're going to talk about Goshen and Egypt, which is I got about eight and a half minutes. So let's get over here. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3, and let's look at verse 20. So it says, so I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt and all with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty handed. So when you go, you won't go empty handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. There's a lot of money being given out right now. A lot of money being given out. Forgivable loans. I'm just saying. So God speaks the end from the beginning. See, this is Exodus chapter 3, and we got to go all the way over like Exodus when they came out. It was like Exodus 12 or 13 or something like that. So he speaks the end from the beginning. He says, you're already blessed. People say, ooh, you know, I'm waiting on my blessing. No. You're already blessed. What you need to be calling for is the manifestation of your blessings of being blessed. That's how that works. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 7, 8 through 13. And this is funny to me. These guys trying to match God's power. Are you serious? You're making a mess worse. Got a mess and you're making it worse. Let's see, Exodus chapter 7, verse 8. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. So we're trying to match God's power. That's what the world does. The world tries to match God's power, but you can't do it. God is all powerful. He's all knowing, omniscient. Yeah. So he's omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. So he knows stuff that you just don't know. Okay. Let's go to verse 25, and I find this pretty interesting. It says, okay, now you have to read the entire chapter. So when you get to verse 25, you got to realize something. It says, and 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the river. So what happened is the river turned to, all the water in the river turned to blood. So the fish, you know, they rose, everything in the river rose up because it died. It wasn't water anymore, it was blood. And so basically, the Egyptians were ravished by, you know, the river not being able to have water, because that's where they got this source of water from. So they went around trying to dig wells and get water and stuff like that. But check this out. That means the Israelites who were slaves couldn't go to work. So they got a week-long vacation. Does that sound familiar to something that's going on right now? Couldn't go to work. But now you got to understand something. God took care of them while they were off work. See, it's God who takes care of people. Depends on where your trust is. Exodus chapter 8, verses 5 through 7. Once again, they're trying to match God's power. But then once again, the Israelites get another vacation. And the reason they got a vacation was, well, we got to go there, because this is actually quite funny to me. And I'm going to say something, and it's in humor, it's in jesting, it's just, it's being lighthearted. So just everybody calm down before I say it. Okay, Exodus chapter 8, look at verse 5. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. What the? You already got the whole land covered with frogs, but then you gonna come along and bring up whatever frogs were still in there, you gonna bring them up too. So now you got double trouble. Am I missing something? Does that not sound absolute, but we keep trying to match God's power? Well, you know, instead of miraculous healing, we got to come up with something, which I understand. I'm all for natural medicine. I'm all for natural medicine. Please, people, take your medicine. Take your medicine. But do your homework. Do your homework. Don't just blindly do stuff. Do your homework. Okay? Now, it says here, and I will let people in the circle see, what do we say? So they brought up frogs in the land of Egypt, and the magician did so in their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. Let's see. Now, here we go. It says once again, here we see Pharaoh's staff trying to match God's power. But then once again, here the Egyptians, they get another vacation. Why? Because the Egyptian taskmasters were too busy dealing their households that were hysterical with all these frogs. Now, can you imagine that? Okay, we got about 90 seconds left. Hey, here's the deal. I'm not sure where you are in life, but I do know this. God loves you. And if you will allow him the privilege of helping you live this life, he'll be more than happy to do that. So, right now, if you've never accepted Jesus, in other words, you've never made a decision to allow him into your life, I think today is the day. No, I know today is your day. So repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I want Jesus to come in and control my life. I exchange my sin for his righteousness. I believe he died for me. And I believe he conquered death, hell, and the grave. So today, I make him the Lord of my life. Because of what I said and because of what I believe, I'm saved. I don't have to go to hell. I get to go to heaven. I choose to live the rest of my life for Jesus Christ. Today is my day of being a part of the family. It's in the wonderful, mighty, majestic name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Hey, here's the deal. Welcome to the family. Congratulations. I am so excited for you. You're about to start living life. Hey, have a great Sunday, and we'll talk to you next time.